Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
We have to prepare, and we seem to be stuck in this courtroom limbo.
Grace Shemaine is the president of the Texas League of Women Voters. Texas was one of just 5 states that still requires a legally valid excuse to vote by mail, and the league is part of a lawsuit to make fear of contracting COVID-19 a valid reason. Like many states, the rulings have gone back and forth.
And I'd like to be out of the limbo with as much accessibility to voting as possible.
Those 5 states are getting lonelier. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont announced yesterday that all registered voters can use the mail for their August primaries. But not so in Texas, where yesterday the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals temporarily blocked an earlier district court decision. Judge Fred Beery had ruled that concerns over COVID-19 were valid reasons to vote by mail. Beery also said Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton had probably engaged in voter intimidation when he threatened to criminally prosecute election officials for advising people to vote by mail. But yesterday, Paxton made his case in front of the Texas Supreme Court, arguing local officials should be barred from helping voters obtain the means to vote by mail. With both cases likely to lead to the U.S. Supreme Court, Shemaine worries about all the confusion.
It's just up in the air. And so my concern is that voters don't get turned off. For general voters, they may get lost in the fight and then just blow off the whole idea of voting at all.
President Trump continued his attack against mail-in voting, falsely claiming that Nevada and Michigan's secretaries of state had acted illegally in their efforts to make vote by mail more accessible. He also threatened to withhold federal funding for their elections. Even in states that already have vote by mail, voting rights advocates are busy. A Montana court yesterday blocked a law restricting the number of absentee ballots someone can collect and submit.
Really, that ends up disenfranchising Native American communities because Natives have to travel so far to both cast a ballot and drop off a ballot because of how rural their communities are, and so it was really common practice.
Lawyer Jacqueline DeLeon is with the Native American Rights Fund, which challenged the Montana law.
One of the plaintiffs challenging the law, Western Native Voice, pretty much one of their main get-out-the-vote activities was to go around and collect ballots from people and drop them off so that they didn't have to travel these far distances in order to vote.
Often called ballot harvesting laws, DeLeon says they're becoming an increasingly common tactic of suppressing the Native American vote. A similar law in Arizona was recently challenged and is waiting for a review by the U.S. Supreme Court.
I think that, honestly, the conditions facing Native Americans when they're trying to vote would be shocking to the average American. Unreasonable distances are a big problem and are going to be a big problem come November. You couple that with the inability for Native Americans to receive ballots at their home because of the lack of mail delivery often.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.